Good evening. Welcome to the gospel meeting. I'd like to sing together with you hymn number 12, a well-known gospel hymn. And I wondered one time how many people have been saved singing this hymn. And someone came to me and they had some, believe it or not, they had some documentation, Christians that had said yes, they were saved during this hymn. I don't remember how many they had garnered, but wouldn't it be wonderful if someone tonight was saved singing this hymn? That's number 12, Just As I Am Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am.
Ask the question, does any teenager here know what a Ducati 998 is? I might ask you later on if you do. But anyway, I'll start off with a little story, and then I intend to make the gospel, with God's help, crystal clear. I'm going to tell a story, then I'm going to read a couple of gospel verses. Let's just say there's a man. He's on his way home, perhaps, and he goes through the woods, dark woods. Night has come on, it's cold, freezing. And lo and behold, he loses his way. And he's in the trees, and he's wandering off through there, and oh my, fear comes over him because he is really and truly lost. Well, he keeps his eyes open, and he sees a light. Oh, what a relief. What a blessing that is. And where does he go? He goes to the light. He goes to the light. And he's rescued. Another man. He's on his way. And he's in the woods. It's dark. It's freezing cold. And he's totally lost. He does not know where he's at. And that man sees a light. It becomes a terrifying thing to him, and he runs and he hides further into the darkness. What is the difference? Well, that last man had just robbed the bank and killed the teller. And he was wondering about that light being the police. You see the difference? Tonight, men and women, they love darkness rather than light because why? Their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. And they go like cockroaches for the dark. The dens of this earth are dark. But you know something? God sees everything in our hearts. In this room tonight, he sees it all. I thought that to be an interesting story when I heard it. I would like to read some gospel verses. So, if this meeting doesn't complete, you will have had the gospel clear, crystal clear. John 3:16. What a verse that is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. You have heard it, and you notice there's a word in there that we've been thinking about today, a very precious word. It's called faith, believing. In verse 17, equally clear, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This book that I have in my hand here is the most unusual book in the world. There's no book like it. It's called the Word of God. I'll hold it up. What a book. Precious, precious book. In it, God tells us his counsels. And I think I can find a verse. In, let's see, Zechariah, I think it is. Yes, Zechariah 6. It says, even he shall build the temple of the Lord. Zechariah 6, 13. I'll be turning to several verses, and I'll try to read them faithfully. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. Zechariah 6, 13. And he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Here's an interesting expression I'm coming to. And the council of peace shall be between them both. Who is that? Is that the council of peace that God has in mind for you tonight? That has in mind for blessing for this whole earth? A council of peace between the Father and the Son. And he's going to bear the glory. He's going to receive the glory. God has told, well, I'll put it this way. In Amos it says, the Lord will do nothing except he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So he's told those people with faith what he's going to do in this world. I'll tell you a little story. Minor Prophets, William Kelly, page 109 and 100, page 109, 110. Here's a man, he said, this is just my thoughts. And he says, I think I've founded them on scriptural knowledge and principles, William Kelly. He said, the United States is energetic. I'm not putting exactly the same words. United States is a young, 150 years ago he wrote that, a young nation full of energy. And he says, it rose in a hurry and it will fall in a hurry. I was in the lobby last night at the hotel, and I saw those words coming true. We think of this country as a stable thing. Not a stable thing. This country has forgotten God, has left God out. But in this book that I have here tonight, we have the counsels of God. The Lord will do nothing except he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And I can go over to Psalm, I believe it's 24. And it says this. You don't have to turn to it. I'll read it. It says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, those that have faith. And he will show them his covenant. And that other verse of Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? God has a heart to tell faith what he's going to do. And so we've been given this marvelous book here, the Word of God. It starts before this world was ever here. And it takes us on through a development of God's thoughts in his heart concerning the creation, the introduction of sin, the fall of Adam, the faith of Abraham, all those wonderful stories. And then it tells us, brings us into the New Testament, and it tells us about the loveliness of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes us through, as Christians, through a life here of his care and tenderness, and then talks about his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension back up into the glory. And then a tribulation that's coming. And then a millennial time that's coming. And then an eternal state. There's no book in the library. I'll tell you that. If you were to file this book, I went through a library one time. I said, well, where would a person file? Under what heading would you file the Bible? And I had to look kind of hard. Would I look under dinosaurs? Well, the book isn't about dinosaurs. When I look about history, well, there's a lot of history in there. It's all true, too, by the way. I look about the condition of man, it talks about social condition of man. I don't know where you'd put that book. It's God's Word. It's unique. And it's given as a gift to us. We can carry it around in our purse, in our pockets, in the dash, in the glove compartment of our cars. We can have the Word of God there, and it tells us everything we need to know. Isn't that beautiful? Well, another verse of Scripture. Remember, I want to keep it simple. There may be people here tonight, I'm glad you are, that have never sat in a gospel meeting in their life. Let's look at Romans. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith, we've been talking about faith this afternoon. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what we have in our hands if you have a Bible in your lap tonight. It's the Word of God, and it was brought to us at a huge cost. Here's another verse that speaks about faith, believing. Romans 10:17. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, this book tells us Earth's earliest ages. In the book of Job, it speaks about swaddling clothes. He wrapped it in swaddling clothes. Interesting expression. You won't find any other book on earth that will tell you about Earth's earliest ages. Job 38, by the way, is where you find that expression halfway through the chapter. Earth's earliest ages. If he didn't tell you, you wouldn't know. And if you don't have faith, you still don't know where you came from. Then, it tells us about Satan entering, the first man, Adam and Eve, we know that. Satan entering the garden, deceiving. And we find out about the fall of man and what a fall that was. And death, or rather sin came in, and death has reigned. R-E-I-G-H. Sin came in, and death has reigned. And it's reigned right on through today. I live about 10 miles, maybe 15 miles from what's said the worst city in the United States for murder. A place called Tukwila, Indian name. Death every night, seems like. Chicago, death every night. Horrible. Is that what God intends? No. Sin has cut a terrible, deep groove in this earth, hasn't it? And we've all, in some degree or another, experienced that awful, awful groove, that terrible stain of sin. Well, in this development of God's thoughts and His Word, He brings us to a blessed person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's man. Perfection displayed here on earth. And how he went to that cross of Calvary and he yielded up that only life that was had a right to live. And he gave himself a sin offering for us to the glory of God. They took and they scourged that man after they declared him to be righteous, nothing wrong. Pilate had him scourged. And then they took that back. It says, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made deep their furrows. Why? Oh, the heart of man is so black. So they put that back against that wooden cross. And they stuck it in the ground. And they could look up and say, if you who you say you are, come on down, we'll believe. Well, we'll go into that later. So, man thinks that he has some standing before God, but he has nothing to stand on. And God has seen this problem, this terrible dilemma that man is in. And he says, I have to provide a way so that I can show out my heart to them and give them a salvation that they can never lose. Oh, how precious that is. I was told a few hours ago that this city that we're living in here, lots and lots of churches per capita, probably as many as anywhere. And a little comment was made under a little quieter voice that said, I think that a lot of them are trusting in their good works before God. Well, I want to tell you something. God realized that that's how man thinks. And so we had a generation there that God had to destroy with a flood. Wicked. And you know something? I want to say this. There was 7 days of grace, yet 7 days. And then the door was shut on that ark. And then there was a town called Nineveh. I think it was 40 days, and Nineveh was going to be overthrown. And there were other occasions in Scripture where you find a period of time was given. A most serious one was the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a time of Jericho, but I'm thinking of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a few hours. The sin of Sodom had increased to where God could have no more patience with that city. And those angels came in and they hauled Lot, his wife, and his two daughters out of that sinful city. Oh, yeah. Here's a man. He was sitting in the gate of Sodom. We won't go into the story. Genesis 18:19. He was sitting in the gate of Sodom, administrating that place, probably trying to make it a better place for his family. But iniquity of that place had filled up, and so those angels came. And they came to Lot's door there. And you know what Lot said? He said to the men of the city, "Oh, don't do this, my brethren." What? This righteous man had vexed his soul to the point where he could say, "Brethren," to those Sodomites. By the way, Sodom is spoken of 16 different books of the Bible. Look it up. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, and even in the book of Job, it says unclean. I could look it up for you. But the margin says Sodomites. Well, that's where we are tonight. I don't know that this meeting is going to end, because when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to take his own up. So Sodom was given a few hours, a very few hours. How long has the day of grace been going on? 2,000 years. Amazing, amazing story. So for those of you in the room tonight that feel, I don't know how you feel, I don't know your heart, God does. What about this business of performing good works to gain favor with God? We are going to look for a few moments at the story of the giving of the law and contrast that with what we have in Christianity in the New Testament. Could you turn with me, please, to Exodus? Now, the children of Israel, they were not very nice. And they'd been taken out of Egypt, a great, wonderful redemption that was through the Red Sea. You know, those things really happened. And they were carried, figuratively speaking, on eagle's wings. What a beautiful expression that was. 90 days. They'd been out there 6 weeks, and they had complained about this and complained about that. But nevertheless, the Lord said in this verse here, Exodus 19, verse 4, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." He got rid of them. "And how I bear you on eagle's wings, and more than that, I brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." I think of the Lord Jesus. He obeyed the Father's voice. And he kept this covenant. And what a peculiar treasure he is. That's not the context here, but that's nevertheless the truth. What a beautiful, beautiful Savior we have to offer tonight. So, verse 7, "Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him, and all the people answered together and said," look at this, "all that the Lord has spoken we will do." Oh my, there was a bunch of people out our way called promise keepers. And matter of fact, I saw a whole van full of pastors were going down there to put their hats on and be promise keepers. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it to him, I should have probably. How can you keep anything? We have proved ourselves year in and year out, day by day. We can't keep anything. We are a fallen, broken race of people. There was a neighbor who worked next to me, and he went to his pastor, and he says, "Pastor, I got this problem, I got that problem, and I got this problem." He laid it out. His pastor wisely said to him, "You are a broken man in a broken world." I have to realize that that's our condition, and now to step up to the plate and say, "We will perform." No. Here it is, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. There's a promise keeper. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. I'm going to read this section here, and this takes about 4 minutes. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, verse 9, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, and the people, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. The Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mountain shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. And when the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mountain whence..." And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives." And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there it is, there were thunders, lightnings, thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them." And Moses said unto the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mountain, sanctify it." And the Lord said unto him, "Away, get thee down. Thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them." So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now, this is something I would like to contrast with the coming of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. "Thou shalt set bounds." Here's a display of the holiness of God. A holiness that if you are in your sins, sinner, young person, old person, you will meet the vengeance of God. It says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Fearful thing. And if we don't approach God on God's terms and God's ways, we will have to experience the holiness of God, wrath of God against sin. It can't be any other way. There was a little girl, perhaps 16 years of age, came into the school where my wife was teaching, and she said this. She said to my wife, "Is hell, can hell ever be full? And my wife gave her a verse that says, hell and destruction are never full. And she said under her breath, I don't have a chance. Oh, my wife told her, you have a wonderful chance. You have every chance. You can accept Christ as your Savior, and you don't have to go there. We're not going to dwell much upon that awful subject of hell, but there it is. There it is. If you're going to meet God on your terms, that is, all of your righteousnesses added up, amount to filthy rags, you will meet God on those terms, and you will suffer, and you will experience the vengeance of eternal fire. That's not my words. The wrath of God against sin. And so here they are. They're asking to perform for God. So the Lord said to Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, wash their clothes and be ready against the third day, and so on. I'll come down in the sight of the people. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. Oh, here we have a contrast, brethren and sinner friend. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 8. We have such a contrast here. Here's a boundary. Here's a border of a garment, or a border of a mountain. And here we have a border of a garment. Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. It's not a comparison. It's such a contrast, and it's so beautiful. So beautiful. And a woman having an issue of blood, Luke 8, 43. This woman had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Her case was hopeless. She came behind him, and she touched the border of his garment. I think the book of Numbers said that there's a ribbon of blue there. Makes you think of that heavenly man. She reached out tremblingly from behind, and she touched the border of that garment, and what happened? Well, came behind him, touched the border of his garment, immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? Oh, he knew, but he would like to hear her confess it. Who touched me? And now here we have these disciples, and they start to ridiculing, really. And they're saying, all these people are bouncing up against you. What do you mean? In other words, don't be ridiculous. Oh, somebody touched me, he said, because virtue has gone out of me. He knew all along. Beautiful. So here we have Exodus chapter 19. The holiness of God says, don't you dare touch that mountain. Don't you dare touch that mountain. Here comes the Lord Jesus. And he said, who touched me? And what happens? The woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling. Now, sinner friend, I want to say this. If you take Christ as your Savior tonight, it may be the most frightening day of your life. You may be scared. You may be trembling because you've finally got into the presence of God. And what a fearful thing that is. It may be the most scary day of your life. You know, they talk about conversions where there's so much joy. All that is true in some cases, but not all. No, there's a fear because we're on divine ground. And so the peace comes later. Oh, so beautiful. Look at this. She was shaken. And she was afraid. And she was trembling. She saw that she was healed. Immediately, he said unto her, daughter. There's relationship right there. Daughter. The mountain. It was, stand back. Get away. Don't come near. Don't touch or you'll be killed. here's a woman. She came. She touched the border of his garment. And she was healed. And she was brought into relationship. And she was spoken peace to. Peace like a river. Well, the question is asked. I will ask you. Have you ever reached out? And you know, I'm not asking you to reach out and touch. Reach out and embrace. A touch of faith. A little tiny bit of faith will do the job. And you may be shaking in your boots. But if you have a tiny bit of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you tell him you're a sinner, you tell him you're at a distance, you tell him you're broken, you're hopeless and helpless and godless in this world, and you need him, a little touch of faith will save your soul. How much better to embrace? We'll go on. Back to the 13th verse of the 19th chapter of Exodus. There shall not a hand touch it. He shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. And when the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mountain. Later on it says the trumpet grew louder and louder. Think of that wonderful verse that says grace upon grace. Oh my. That fearful trumpet declaring the righteousness of God against sin. Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And it came to pass, verse 16, on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders, lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a voice of a trumpet exceeding loud. And the people that were in the camp, they trembled. This is a different kind of trembling. Well, and he brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. Ooh, how did the Lord Jesus come down into this world? He came down such accessible grace. He came down and they laid him. Doesn't even say he was born in a manger. He was laid in a manger. What humility. What grace. What love. What compassion. What tenderness. What an identification with his creature. Beautiful. Beautiful. They could look upon him. And instead of the trumpets growing louder and louder, blaring out that decree, and the island, the mountains shaking, smoking fire like a furnace. What do you have? I think it's Luke chapter 2. Let's look at it. Verse 2 and verse Luke 2 and verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Oh yes, presence of the Lord, there's fear. He has to speak peace to your heart, no matter what condition you are. And he does that to those that believe. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, let's see. Yeah, they were sore afraid. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now compare this next verse with what we have there in Exodus. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Oh, the grace of that statement. Isaiah, is it 61? Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Psalm 102. The Lord, verse 19. The Lord hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Oh, what an accessible Savior we have. What a God to send his Son down into this poor, sin-stained world, this place that's under a curse. Now, we go on here. And it says, verse 19, all right, verse 20, the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. You know something? The Lord Jesus came right down, like we said, to that manger where the animals were. And then it says, and I don't think they ever did see the Lord God. I don't think they ever saw him. There was the fire. There he was. The fire and the smoke and the thunder and the lightning and all those things they could see and hear. But did he ever display himself? No. The First Testament starts with God, and then it ends with a curse. The New Testament starts with Jesus Christ and ends with a blessing. So, sinner, where do you fit in here? Are you going to meet him as a holy, thrice holy God, or are you going to meet him as a Savior of sinners? We'll look on here. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people. Oh, what a contrast that is. The Lord Jesus was given directions to go down and bless the people, bless the people. If you come under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ, young person, are you standing outside the door? You will face judgment, and you will pay for those sins that you did last Friday and Saturday night. Or you're under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ. There's a Chinese lady in the shop a week ago, and there was a man sitting on my left here. His name was Don Argue. He was the president of the college where we have the conference over there. And he was visiting with her about the gospel. And she was interested. And so we were able to say to her, have Judgment Day behind you, not ahead of you. Make sure Judgment Day is behind you, not ahead of you. And this man gave her the gospel. And he stood up and he prayed with this Chinese woman. Now, I'll tell you a little story. This man standing here, he was sent out by Bill and Hillary Clinton, he and two other men, to search into the different nations of the world where there was religious persecution. So he had a free ticket to go wherever he wanted to go. His man's name is Don. Don Argue. And dear Christian brother, sweet man. He's over in China. And he's talking. He said to this Chinese woman standing there, he says, "You remember this Chinese king, emperor, president, what do they call it?" And he said, you know, Zing Pui or whatever his name was. I can't remember. She says, "Yes, he was the president of China." This is 15 years ago. This man was visiting with him. This man knew English. He was talking to my friend Don. He said to Don, he said, "I don't understand the Bible." Well, Don said, "You know, it's New Testament, Old Testament." Yeah, he said, "I understand that much." And then Don gave him a little gospel, and he said, "Now I have a Chinese Bible for you, Mr. President." He gave him the Bible. And he said, "Now, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel." He said, "I don't understand the Bible." He said, "Well, you read John's Gospel." And so the man, he's walking away, and he turns around. He says to Don Argue, he said, "John's Gospel." In other words, he was going to read it. Well, Mr. Don came back to the United States, and he's sitting in his office, Kirkland there somewhere, Bellevue. Chinese man came up to him and said, "Don, you're a famous man in China." Well, he says, "You know, who, me? No. "No," he said, "yes, you're a famous man in China." He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "What you did there, giving that Bible to the president and giving him the gospel and telling him to read the book of John," he says, "all those house churches, televisions had that on screen." He says, "You're a famous man in China." I thought that was to witness something like that. God has his ways, doesn't he? Isn't that beautiful? Well, so here we have it. Go down and charge the people. And so you and I, we have experienced the blessing of the Lord, and it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, that's so precious. So we're going to go on. So they're going to break through to gaze. You know, we sing that song, "Gazing on the Lord in glory, our hearts in worship bow." And then we sing those songs, "Grace is the sweetest sound that ever reached our ears." If you want to come on the basis of law, you got a real rough road ahead of you. If you want to come on the basis of God's grace and his love, you've got eternal blessing ahead of you. Someone has said wrongly that the law is a transcript of the mind of God. No. You get a transcript of the heart of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His heart, oh, there's a warmer heart never beat. Think of that. Warmer heart never beat. He could take up those children in his arms. He put his hands upon them and bless them. One man, he wanted to visit the Pope, Pierpaolo. He's over there in Rome, Italy, by the Vatican business, and there's a bunch of the guards with their bayonets in front of the door, and there's an opening that leads up to the Pope. And so he's walking along like this with his tracks, and he's giving them out here and there, and then he gets that opening, he turns sideways, he's going to slip through. And these guards took that bayonet, and they, whoop! He says, "To think of it, this man," he says, "you can't go in there." He says, "I just want to go see the Pope." "No," he said, "you can't go in there." He says, "To think that that man is supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the most accessible man that ever lived. You won't let me go see him." Well, that's his story. Yes, you can come tonight. You can come believing. You can just bow your knees. I've heard this story. I think this brother might have told it. I have a story almost exactly like it. Airline pilot came into the office there and started to talk about his conversion. He said, "I was proud Pilate, stubborn man, he said, but I knew I had an issue. God had an issue with me about my sins. And I knew I had to bow my knees to the Lord Jesus. I went in my bedroom. I put one knee on the ground, on the floor. But he said that other knee wouldn't go down. He said, I knew if I went out of here without bending both those knees, I'd be lost. You have to break yourself down in the presence of God. He's watching. And so he took his hands and he jammed that other knee, boom, down into the ground. And he got saved. Now that might not be your condition tonight, but you need to bow yourself. You know, a man, he bows his head, he bends his shoulders, he bows his back, he bends his knees, and he's put his face down. And if he does it with a right heart, and there's repentance towards God, and there's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth him from all sin. That's a fact. Well, we'll go on. That was an external cleansing. They're to wash their clothes. I'll read you a beautiful song here. Hang on. Listen to this. Soft. The voice of mercy sounded sweet as music to the ear. Elijah was on the top of a mountain one time, and he was listening for the voice of God. And the fire came, and the voice was not there. And the wind came, and the rocks were flying around up there. And he was listening for the voice of God. The mountain was shaken. No. But then, if you open up Brother Darby's Bible, it says this. A soft, gentle voice. You sinner, if you ever opened your ear and you've heard that soft, gentle voice that's saying, depart from iniquity. Take me as your Savior. Confess your brokenness, your godlessness, your sinfulness, and accept the Christ of God as your Savior. Look at this. Soft. The voice of mercy sounded sweet as music to the ear. Grace abounds where sin abounded. This the word that soothed our fear. Grace, the sweetest sound we know. Grace to sinners here below. Grace, we sing God's grace through Jesus. Grace, the spring of peace to man. He made peace through the blood of his cross. Grace that from each sorrow frees us, grace too high for thought to scan. Grace, the theme of God's own love. Grace, the theme, all themes above. There's nothing like it. Don't meet God in your sins. Don't meet God with your pile of good works, what you think are good works. There's not a balance up there where you put your good works on one side and your bad works on the other. And you just hope and pray that the good works exceed the bad works. That's foolishness. God requires that which is past. There's nothing you can do in the future to help yourself. You're lost. And are you like that man that was sinful man? His conscience is working on him and he's lost. And he sees a light and he runs further into the darkness. And one brother said one time, he said, no, Adam and Eve, they had a child that was born lost. We're born into this world, born lost, yes we are. But it's like a mama sheep. She gets lost. She leaves the fold and she's going over hill and dale and valley and through the woods and forth. And lo and behold, that sheep gets lost. While she's out there, she has a baby lamb. Is that you? Mother and father gave birth to a lost soul. A little lamb. You know something? You don't have to stay lost. You don't have to stay lost. You can be saved tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all sin. And so we'll go on. Safe in Christ, the weakest child. Now I was going to ask that young boy, young fellows here, what a Ducati 998 is. This is not for you old folks. This is for us younger ones. It's a high-powered motorcycle. My employee has one. Had a girlfriend, a Christian boy. Nice brother. Well, in one of his weaker moments, he was going across Lake Washington floating bridge there in Seattle, and some of you have been there. It's about a mile and a half flat, goes like that, and you go up into town. Well, he came through the tunnel, and he goes down onto the bridge, and lo and behold, there's a policeman. And so what does he do? Instead of just back off, he has a girlfriend on the back. Instead of back off, get down the speed limit, he lets her roll 130 mile an hour, whoa, down across that bridge, flying across that bridge. But you know something? He has a conscience. And he gets on to Mercer Island there, and he knows the policeman is on his tail, and so he slows it way down to a crawl. Matter of fact, he might have even stopped. And the policeman came, and he said, "How fast were you going?" Well, he didn't tell him. He said, "I couldn't catch you." Now, I said to this guy, this Vladimir, this employee, I said, "Do you think that's something that took you out of grace with the Lord? Did that was a sinful deed, you know. You had a life on the back of that car, a motorcycle, including your own." And I made him think about that. No. You don't lose your life. You don't go to hell because of some misdeed that you've done. What you do is you go to the Lord and you say, "Lord," and you don't even ask for forgiveness. What you do is you go and you identify, like your brothers brought out meeting before, you identify what you did. That's what I did. I did a terrible deed. I could have killed somebody. And fellowship is restored. Relationship was always there. Fellowship is restored. Oh, this God we have, He has given us a salvation. If we could lose it, we would lose it. But we've been given a salvation that we can't lose. Never perish. You see how precious that is? I know our time's gone. I got a minute. We have a Savior that's going to take us home into the glory land. And we're going to see this heart of His displayed fully. It was displayed there at the cross, but we couldn't take it all in. You know, it says, "And time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Samson, and Barak, and the prophets and all that." Time fails. Another place it says, "The many other things which Jesus did, I suppose if they should be written, every one, the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." There we have space fails. Another place it talks about our understanding fails. Something beyond our understanding. You know something, folks? We're going to a place where space doesn't fail. Time doesn't fail. Understanding doesn't fail. And what's more than that? We'll sit there and we'll talk about the grace of God that was poured out upon us in all of our lives. There's people in here 104 years of age, and they would have to say, "The grace of God has followed me all my days." I was at that lady's house when I was a young boy, and she was old then. Yeah, it's true. Love her. All of our days. All of our days. All of our days. What about you, sinner? Are you going to face this wrath that we've been reading about? Or are you going to look into the face of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be eternally blessed and saved? Think about it. I don't think there's going to be another conference in this town next year, the way things are going. Things are falling apart down around our ears as we speak. God has his timetable. Grace, there's a day of grace is almost up. May you really consider these verses. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let that precious blood of Christ that flowed so freely from that side, that gift of God, let it be for you tonight. You just say, yes, Lord Jesus, in your heart, bow that knee.